The Gospels are perfectly portioned for preaching. Each pericope is a little universe, so that the whole can be found in every part. The only thing missing from a gospel pericope is you, the preacher. The epistles, though, are different. It's like stepping into a heated dispute, the letter of a jilted lover, or in this case, a legal argument. And so today we're dragged into the courtroom and placed on the hot seat as the prosecutor sums up his case against us. All are under sin. Then comes the evidence, laid out like a wet blanket over all humanity. No one is righteous. No, not one. Noble pagans, virtuous humanists, and wise deists need not apply. No one understands. There is really no such thing as an enlightened Buddhist or a wise shaman. No one seeks for God. So much for seeker services. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. The world does not consist of people who are basically Christian, but just don't know it yet. There's no inherent spark of goodness that we can appeal to, no divine spirit. There's no good deep down that has yet to surface. Their mouth is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. It's not just that we have been deceived by the serpent. We're the ones who deceive others as well as ourselves. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. Murder and rape, bloodshed and abortion, these aren't anomalies, awful exceptions at which we shudder. Violent death is all around us, and we do nothing. Take a look at those near and dear to you and see their bruises and their scars. Look at your broken families, then look at yourself in the mirror. Your Honor, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Every single one of them, the whole lot of them, are guilty as charged, says Paul icily. Now, what should we do in the face of such accusations? Legal experts will tell you that if you're pulled over, or if the police come knocking at your door, say nothing. No question is benign. They might be good guys, but they're not your friends. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Act as your own counselor, and you'll have a fool for a lawyer. Allow yourself on the witness stand, and your testimony will be dissected, your story picked apart, like roadkill for the vultures, carrion for the legal eagles. So my advice? Don't make excuses. Don't talk about your horrible childhood or how you were raised. Don't blame your wife, your kids, or the fellow sitting next to you. Don't complain about the system that got you down or forced your hand. It won't work. And whatever you do, don't pretend innocence. They've got phone records and emails, breathalyzer and blood results, bank statements, signed checks and tax records, fingerprints and DNA, sworn depositions, eyewitnesses, and videotape. Try to talk yourself out of it. You'll only make it worse. As Paul says, the law speaks to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be stopped. So keep your mouth shut and then get a lawyer and make sure he's a good one. And then let your lawyer do all the talking. There is no one who is righteous, no, not one, says the prosecutor. Well, actually there is one, says your defender. Together all have become worthless, says the prosecutor. Well, Actually, there is one who is worthwhile, one whose every deed was good, says your defender. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness, says the prosecutor. Well, actually, there is one mouth from which flowed blessings and forgiveness, one who spoke words of forgiveness even as he was taunted, mocked, and falsely accused. Their feet are swift to shed blood, says the prosecutor, to which Jesus points to his own shed blood on your behalf, to which the judge says, I find the defendant not guilty. Case closed. Amen.